7 p.m. in the Guild's lobby, seeking a large cast of men, women, and children ages 10 and up. RacineTheater.org.
Welcome to the Diabetic Show. My name is Mark Philwood, probably a diabetic since 87.
My name is Dobie Maxwell. I've lost count, but I'm a type 2, working on getting better each and every day.
Each and every day. Mm-hmm. We'd like to welcome you for listening again. We're steaming off. It's a new year. Resolutions, Dobie? Yeah.
You know what? I want to start smoking this year.
I was thinking that or 5 pounds.
I'm starting to chew a little bit, kind of work my way into it. I'm going to light it pretty soon. Tell me that you have to have the paper to put it around it. So that's how little I know about smoking.
And besides that, you're going to look cool.
Yeah. Well, I don't think that's possible.
Yeah, well, if you try, it depends.
I still want to be a type 3 diabetic just so I can get my name in the paper. The world's first type 3.
Anything for a t-shirt.
My prescription would be, you know, you have to eat jujubes and ladyfingers. That's my diet.
Let's jump right into this. Well, actually, we tell you about the website, thediabeticshow.com, the Facebook page of The Diabetic Show.
Mm-hmm.
Dobie at The Diabetic Show.
Or Mark, if you have questions, and people have been asking questions. We have fun, but we don't make fun. We want to make it, I don't want to say light, but palatable. You know, and I think that people have come and said, you know, I listen to your show. I thought you guys were idiots, but I listen and you guys have good guests. Well, we have a great guest today, as a matter of fact.
Yes, we have Rémi Partain, and we're still idiots. You know, keep that on
the side. That won't
change. No. But Rémi Partain, she's a type 1 diabetic, and we are actually going to be talking about the Freestyle Libre system from Abbott. It's a big thing with the Freestyle Libre. It's a little different than a CGM, a continuous glucose monitor, like Dexcom, Medtronic have those out. This is more of a flash CGM. We'll get into it.
It's George Jetson and Blade Runner and futuristic.
It is the future, yeah. Living here today. Mm-hmm. Just a couple of news notes. Green tea linked with an increased risk of type 2 diabetes. So.
Increased risk?
Yeah.
I never liked that stuff.
Well, look, and you still got it.
Green tree ice cream, you ever have that?
The worst.
Yeah.
I don't get it. I thought it would be something where you taste it and you go, wow, I didn't think this would taste great, but it does. It doesn't.
It's like frozen liver. You know, you're never going to sell that to anybody.
A total of 120,000 participants from the Shanghai Women's Health Study Group and the Men's Health Study Group. And when we talk about Shanghai, if you're not including the men and the women's health study groups together, it's, you know.
How about the LGBT? You got to put them in there, too, these days. Can't leave anybody out.
The increased risk of type 2 diabetes is up 8% for somebody who has 2 cups of green tea or more a day. And here all this time, you're thinking tea is good. Well, perhaps not.
How about Mr. T?
Diet soda.
Hot pity the fool. That's got a high A1C.
Diet soda is also linked to an increased risk for diabetic retinopathy. So if you haven't got that going for you, now you've got the retinopathy you'd look forward to. This is according to the September-October issue of the Clinical and Experimental Ophthalmology Group.
Mm-hmm.
It's huge now. It has not been authenticated. The study group was like 10,000 people. Is that really... We'll see. It's kind of, I'm waiting to hear what Coca-Cola and Pepsi have to say about it.
So you think that's a small study group?
I think it's one of those where it's a headline grabber. And so we'll see. Because you imagine, Dobie. I mean, if diet soda added to retinopathy issues, you know, get me in that class act line. I mean, I'm right there.
Yeah, but how much are you going to actually get? Because everybody drinks it. So you're okay, Mr. Phil, and here's your payoff. Ting, 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 ting. Yeah. 47 cents wouldn't even be toll money.
I couldn't even get a 16-ouncer.
Couldn't even get a 16-ouncer. Exactly right.
All right. You know, let's take the break right here. We're going to run out of time with Rémi. I know we are. She's going to be talking to us about the Freestyle Libre in the U.S. She's have been using it for this last year or so. She's an athletic person. I'm just dying to see because I'm kind of on the fence about whether I get, whether I don't, because everybody hates the finger pricking so well.
Fascinating interview coming up on The Diabetic Show. He is Mark Philwett. I am Dobie Maxwell. Thank you for being with us.
We'll be right back. And welcome back. This is The Diabetic Show. My name's Mark Philwitt, proudly type 1 diabetic since 1987.
Dobie Maxwell, type 2, trying to conceal it, working on type 3. I want a unique one. We are talking about the disease that is spreading the world, and we want to make it more palatable and educate you on the procedures and the new things. We've got a lot of new things to talk about today.
We'll go with the word tolerable. We'll go with that.
We'll go with that.
You can always get it to us on the website, thediabeticshow.com. Facebook, we have a page out there. The emails, mark@thediabeticshow.com. And, of course,
Dobie, D-O-B-I-E, at thediabeticshow.com.
So many buttons, so many things to do here. Mm-hmm. You know, we've been talking about for weeks the Libre. You know, we've had our interviews with folks when it comes to the CGMs, the continuous glucose monitors. But then along comes a Libre.
Not to be confused with Lucha Libre, which is Mexican verb of professional wrestling.
Oh, that's true.
They wear masks and they beat each other up. So we're not. Nobody's going to get beat up.
Somewhat different.
No one's going to be wearing any masks. It's radio. I know that.
There are similarities, but a completely different
Different product, just so you know.
So we're thinking the best person to talk to about the Libre, sure, you know, we've talked to spokespeople. Mm-hmm. We've talked to people from Abbott. Great folks. But we really like to know what it's like for the user.
Someone because that walks the walk, talks the talk.
We're really building you up big, Randy. Randy Partain. Randy, where are you calling us from today?
I am calling you guys in from Chicago, Illinois.
Oh, great. Right up the road.
Hey, how'd that Bears game work out?
Oh, okay. Sit over there. Just sit over.
Rough.
Do you see, Randy? And I have to do this and test myself five times
a day. I wanted to see your blood sugar raise about 300 points.
So anyway, let's get all the apologies out of the way as we continue on this conversation. Ready, Partain, type 1 diabetic. How long you been a type 1?
Almost 30 years. It'll be 28 in April.
Wow, congratulations. I'm just crossed the 30th, and it's, yeah, something else. Are you a trailblazer in your family, or is this just part of your family?
I'm a trailblazer. I'm one of the few. When I was first diagnosed, I was the only one, definitely the only one in my immediate family and the only one in pretty much all of my extended family that we knew of at the time to be diagnosed with type 1.
Did you go from non-diabetic to type 1 in one leap? A gal after my own heart, though. And this is, I lived your dream or nightmare, depending. So, let's talk pre Libre. Your A1Cs, your average amount of sugar in your 90 day red blood life. How were you with controlling your diabetes and with your A1C numbers?
You know, I was always fighting the good fight, trying to get that A1C in a range that I felt comfortable with, and I was never quite getting there. I was always in the low sevens, which was pretty good, but, you know, I tend to be a perfectionist. I was always striving to get it lower than that, but before, you know, continuous glucose monitors, I just didn't have enough data. I couldn't tell what my blood sugars were doing. I was checking, you know, 10, sometimes 15 times a day.
Ouch.
You should have seen my fingers. Black all over from all the scarring, from all the finger pricks. But I was just so desperate to get those numbers under control. And I felt like I would only have part of the picture.
So it seems like your body was either insulin resistant or it wasn't, it wasn't, and it wasn't, it wasn't as you go through your day. As I'm sure you know, if you exercise, you're on a sliding scale almost your whole life. As far as
I've been on a sliding scale when I was younger, and then I went to carb counting when I was going into middle school.
And that's it really seems to be the best way to gauge and to measure how much insulin, how many units of insulin you need, depending on the amount of carbs your body is ingesting, correct?
Yes. For me, it works a lot better than sliding scale. Just because I'm so sensitive to carbs and I'm really sensitive to exercise. Mm. And I love my carbs and I love my exercise. So the more I can fine-tune the insulin delivery, the better my blood sugars do.
Did you have a number of lows during all this time? I mean, hypoglycemic, where you get that feeling of anxieties and, well, it all hits people differently, but I'm sure, especially when you being an active person, you're constantly dealing with that type of an issue.
Absolutely. When I was really, hunkering down, trying to get my control as tight as possible, I was having a lot more lows. And that's just because, I was much more comfortable having my blood sugar float around 100, which means that I would drop into the lower ranges and it wouldn't be as significant as, if my blood sugar had been in the 200s and then I was suddenly dropping down. So that was really frustrating for me to see those low blood sugars and then become less sensitive to the low blood sugars the more often I was having them. And then a lot of the times I felt like I wasn't 100% sure when those lows were going to happen or why they were happening. Sometimes it was because of exercise. Sometimes it was because I overestimated how many carbohydrates I had at lunch or dinner. And sometimes the wind just blew a strange direction on a Thursday and my blood sugar was low when I couldn't figure out a good reason why. So I was really getting frustrated as I was trying to tighten my control to figure out, what are causing these lows and how do I prevent them without bringing that A1C back up and without my blood sugars rising again.
You bring up a good point when it comes to balance. You have to balance your life. You have to balance it with your meds. And then, like you said, the wind, the barometric pressure, you saw something that was a little too orange and it made your brain short. It's a continual thing, and it's almost where you're completely blindfolded until you get that one reading, like you said, 15 times a day. Ouch. I'm just feeling that for you, Renny. tell us about how you were introduced to the Libre.
Yeah, so I was really excited. I was thinking about, I had run a marathon, LA Marathon, back in 2016.
Oh, wow.
I really struggled with lows during that time. I was having a really hard time with the training, balancing the how much insulin to give versus how much exercise I was getting. I was actually starting to spill ketones because I couldn't keep enough insulin in my system to prevent lows. It was a nightmare. And so I was getting ready to make the move from Los Angeles to Chicago, and I was reaching out to kind of people in the community to find out resources. And I was thinking about, what if I, later on down the line, what if I run the Chicago Marathon? And I had this great opportunity came up to partner with Abbott using their Freestyle Libre and use it to help me train and improve my control during the Chicago Marathon. So I actually had this really amazing opportunity to partner with Abbott, wear the Abbott Freestyle Libre during my training, and then I finished the Chicago Marathon this past October.
Wow.
Using it.
So congratulations.
It was a pretty cool experience.
Now, I'm going to back up a little bit. How come you moved from Los Angeles to Chicago? Usually it's the other way around.
I get that question a lot. I have a very awesome boyfriend who got a great job.
There you go.
And so he lured me with, the Bears are doing well this year.
How'd that work out?
Summertime.
Ouch.
Yeah, and now this last weekend I had to kind of re-bring up that topic, but it's okay. I forget.
Yeah, it's part of the conditioning. You're going to have to be a Chicago fan.
When global warming kicks in, you'll be fine.
Oh, Lordy.
Yeah.
okay, so you're introduced to – how long ago did you start using the Libre?
So I started using it over the summer, so around July 2018.
What's the first thing you noticed because we all have preconceived notions. When you first put it on, how would you compare your preconceived notions to the actual, hour one, hour four, first day, first week?
It was so comfortable.
Really?
So a lot of the times, the challenges that I think a lot of us have, having type 1, we don't want to feel like we're half robot. We don't want to feel like we've got all these devices, all these things buzzing, all these things attached to us constantly.
The bionic woman.
Yeah, exactly. So there was some concern on my end, is this going to be comfortable to wear? Is it going to stay on? How is it going to feel?
Does it match your shoes?
Yeah. Exactly.
It's an earth color. It's an earth tone. It goes fine.
Woman's got fashion sense. I get that.
Most of Dobie's life is diabetes and fashion, so please forgive.
Fashion's important.
But overall, it just – because you brought up the point. It's out of the way. And if you ever see a picture of it, it's you were on the back of your arm, kind of the upper arm in the back, correct?
Correct. And it's only the size of 2 stacked quarters. So
that's
it's actually very small.
That's it.
And unlike other CGMs that I've worn, I didn't need any additional tape. I didn't need anything extra holding it on. I've had infusion sets that I can't keep on because I wear an insulin pump as well, where I'm like sticking 3 layers of Tecoderm on there. I'm spraying it with special spray, doing whatever I can to keep it on, especially when I was training for the marathon. So I was going out for runs, you know, 4 times a week in the heat, and I could keep the Freestyle Libre on. At the time, I was wearing the 10-day one. They now have a one that lasts 14 days. But by day 10, I was, like, really working to pull that sucker off because it was still still on.
Duct tape usually works. Keeps
works
it
for everything.
Yeah.
so you have this on, and when I see something, like you said, it's very innocuous, a couple quarters maybe on the surface of your skin. How hard is it to apply the sensor itself?
So I was really surprised. Normally, whenever you're starting any new technology, there's all this training involved, and someone has to come
out. Huge.
And there's a whole lot. And I was able to be up and running on the Freestyle Libre within a day. So it was really fast. It was very user-friendly. The instructions are simple. There's nothing special you had to do to put it on. And I know most people with type 1 or diabetes in general, you know, we are pretty good on the pain tolerance scale. but this was actually not bad at all to insert. It didn't hurt. It just kind of felt like another finger stick, but only on the back of your arm.
Son of a gun. And fortunately, not too many nerve endings back there where you're doing it, too. So that also helps.
Now, pardon my ignorance here. I'm trying to picture the back of your arm. How do you read it if it's in the back of your arm? Seems like an inconvenient place to read.
A good question, Dobie.
That doesn't happen often.
Yeah,
so the number is not actually showing up on the part that you wear on your arm.
That's where
the reader comes in. Mm-hmm. And they actually, Abbott's done this amazing job of developing an app. So you can actually scan your phone over the sensor and read it on your phone as long as you're using an iPhone 7 or later.
Is that nuts?
That's pretty cool.
Smartphone.
Yeah, it's awesome.
What about us flip phoners out there?
Not
going to happen.
Yeah, well, we'll talk. Okay, so overall, the use of it is, there it is, sitting on your arm 24 hours a day over a week and a half. And do you actually have to make the reading yourself? Do you actually have to take that reader and pass it over the sensor? Or how does that work?
So that's a really good question. You do need to swipe the reader in order to collect the data, but you are not just getting that moment's worth of data. So it's not the same thing as when you check your blood sugar using a traditional finger stick.
Right, because you literally, to get that part up, sorry. Like you said, that literally gives you that 1 second in time when you applied the blood to and then you got the reading. Like you said, it's just that 1 second of the day. Well, what's the difference now?
So when you swipe the reader, you get your glucose readings from the last 8 hours.
Oh.
So you get a ton of data. So this is, I think, what can get a little bit confusing. You do need to swipe over the sensor to get the glucose reading, but you're not just getting that moment's reading. You're getting the history of your readings as well. So you don't have to – you're not supposed to be scanning. You don't have to scan 15, 20 times a day to get those glucose readings. You can actually scan fewer times but still see your trends in your glucose levels, which was what was so valuable to me.
How often, what's the time between readings?
So I love to know what my glucose levels are doing. So I would scan it usually every couple of hours. And that's the other thing. It's so easy. It's not like a finger stick where you're pulling out all your stuff. You're having to stop whatever you're doing and take pause. It was great when I was actually training for the marathon. I didn't even have to stop running. I could continue running, swipe while I was running, see and make those in-the-moment decisions really quickly. So it's really fast for me. So it was easy. It wasn't as much of a burden to be swiping, you know, every hour, every couple of hours.
Okay, but when you get the swipe, and you said you have your you swipe it once and it'll give you the 8 hours. How does it break it up? I mean, every 10 minutes, every 20, you know what I'm saying? When they're giving the 8 hours worth of information, how do they split it up?
So that's a good question. I don't know exactly what the breakdown is of exactly how often the sensor itself is reading the glucose levels, but when you do look at your reader, it'll give you a number, and then you can click on it, and you can see the graph. And the graph is where you can get the previous hour span. For me, it was at least a couple hours, and depending on, you had control over it. So if you just wanted to see the last hour, last 2 hours, you could see that. And then I could go all the way back and see almost a 24-hour period if I was looking for bigger trends throughout the day and get that data as well.
So if you cheat on your diet, does that show up there too? Like a little red flag comes up?
You know, you have a space to put in notes if you download your data.
Mm-hmm.
And you also, on the reader, can put in when you've eaten, when you've not eaten. So that way if you did have a cheat meal, let's say, and you suddenly see those glucose levels cruising up, it'd be a good reminder to yourself, oh, okay, I remember this is when I had that giant cheeseburger and fries.
And
the insulin one didn't quite match up.
And a Diet Coke. And a Diet Coke. Oh, yeah, that was good.
Diet Coke. Supersized with a Diet Coke, always. And that's the other thing. You bring up a good point, Rennie. This diabetes thing, we have to almost be robotic in our nature. We have to eat the same amount, the same time, do the same. And life is never the same. There's always something. You know, like you said, an Aaron cheeseburger crosses your path as you're just on your way to exercise.
The holidays especially, that's going to really throw it out.
Goodness. How did it work for you that way? Was it easier to say no to something when you could see where you were? How does seeing the graph influence your decisions?
So, truthfully, I'm a person that rebels against routine. I like to being able to have flexibility in my schedule, in my day, in my life. And so one of the beautiful things about the Freestyle Libre is it gives me the power to understand what my choices, the impact my choices have on those glucose readings, because I can see trends. So the really cool thing is, you know, once I have all this data on my reader, I can download it to my computer and I can compare day by day. Okay, am I really having issues with lunch? Do I do better when I eat around noon or around 1? Do I do better when I have a walk before lunch or a walk after? And then that way I feel more prepared to make better decisions for myself and to not feel so limited. For a long time, you know, during the breakfast hours, it was like, okay, there's literally one thing I feel like I can eat. There's nothing else that's going to work. If I'm going to eat something, it's going to be this one thing. And with the Freestyle Libre, I have more control to see, okay, when I eat these other things, this is when it starts to spike. This is when I start to drop. This is what the pattern looks like over the 3 hours afterwards. And I get a lot more data. And that makes me feel more comfortable in making smart decisions because I have so much data to look at to support each of my decisions. And then, you know, it just allows me the comfort to try new things, knowing that I've got this device that will give me so much information that even if it goes completely wrong, I can have a little bit more faith that I can figure out what went wrong. Whereas in the past, with just finger sticks, it was, you know, it was anyone's guess. You know, why did that one, you know, why did that one sandwich not work for me? Or why did that one run when I was training for the marathon go so horribly wrong compared to another one? It's all about the data for me. And the more data I have, the better decisions I can make.
Okay, so when you go see your endocrinologist, how do you work your readings? Are there printouts that you do? How do you get that information to your doctor?
Oh, my endocrinologist loves getting all this data. So actually what I do is 2 days before my appointment, I would download all of the graphs, all of the charts, everything from the online Abbott website where I stored all my data, and email it to my endocrinologist. So she had a couple days to look over it, and then I'd go in for the appointment, and it was such a more meaningful appointment for me because she's just had a few days to look over all this data with me, and then we could really fine-tune, okay, you know, in the morning, on days when you have runs, this is how much we need to tweak your basal, or this is how much we need to drop your insulin to carb ratio.
I've had my basal tweaked. I know how painful that can be.
You can't leave them open like that, Rennie. But overall, I mean, obviously it's got to help with your A1Cs. I mean, what have you noticed when it comes to the actual numbers?
Yeah, so when looking back at when I first started on a CGM versus no CGM, my A1C dropped almost a full point.
A full point?
Wow.
What?
Almost a full point. And you have to keep in mind, this is it's going to vary based on person.
Sure.
So I really, really wanted to work on my A1C. That was a priority for me. And I was really trying hard with the finger sticks. But again, I didn't have the right data. So once I started using a CGM, that information was so much more helpful. And I was seeing trends. So that's the other thing. Not only now do I see what my blood sugar or my glucose level is doing, I know which direction it's heading. So suddenly, if I'm, you know, 150 with an up arrow, I know, okay, I should probably take a correction. I should take some insulin, bring it back down before it gets to 200. Whereas if it's 150 with two down arrows, I know, okay, I might need to check again or look at my sensor again in a couple minutes to see if I'm going to be going low because I might actually need some food. So suddenly that 150 glucose reading means two very different things depending on the arrows you get, the trend arrows that you get with the Freestyle Libre.
True. Remy Partain, fantastic to talk to you today. Thank you so much for your it's one thing reading the brochure. It's one thing seeing the picture. But talking to a user, it makes all the difference in the world.
Well, thank you guys both so much for having me. It was great to talk to you.
Reporting in from the battlefield, we appreciate it. Sorry about the Bears comment, and a continued success to you, young lady.
You know, honestly, Rennie, I think what Dobie doesn't understand is there's a lot of type 2s we could be, sitting in that chair right over. But he's a Packer guy. Yeah, but we apologize for.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, enough said.
Well, hopefully, we'll talk to you again and maybe see you run that marathon. We'll cheer for you.
Congratulations, though. Just finishing it. What an achievement. Oh, my gosh.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate it.
Again, thanks. Give our thanks out to the folks back at Abbott. And have yourself a great A1C next time.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. And wow, we're plumb out of time. Thank you so much for listening.
We always appreciate it, and hopefully we'll have you again. He's Mark Failwood. I'm Dobie Maxwell. Thank you for listening to The Diabetic Show. No sugar tonight in my coffee. No sugar tonight in my tea. No sugar to stand beside me. No sugar to run with me.
Jazz, swing, blues, bop, and more is available 24 hours a day on your desktop, laptop, smartphone, or radio. To access 24/7 Jazz WGTD on your computer, go to WGTD.org, where you can listen live, online, 24 hours a day. On your smartphone, download the free WGTD app. In the Kenosha Racine area, 24/7 Jazz WGTD HD2 is available via HD radio. For more information, call 262-564-3030.
Support for classical music on WGTD comes from Piasecki Althaus Funeral Home. The staff at Piasecki Althaus can answer your questions about pre-planning a meaningful funeral or tribute service. Piasecki Althaus, honoring and serving families in our community since 1931.
Support comes from Kenosha Winter Harbor Market, offering all of the ingredients for hearty soups, stews, and casseroles. This week's featured vendor is River Valley Ranch, bringing to market mushrooms, pickle goods, and more. The winter market is open and Saturdays from 10 until 2 at the Roadie. Support comes from Andrea and Orendorf, Certified Public Accountants. A&O's team of tax experts will help you through the new tax laws, offering a full scope of small business services, tax planning, and preparation for every type of business and personal entity. AOCPA.net.
Support for WGTD comes from Jack Andrea. The perfect escape from the chill of winter, a hot bowl of soup, and a cafe latte. Also, take advantage of the winter sale happening now.